Again today and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter. For our scripture reading, our text today, Matthew 13. While you're finding the place there, let me encourage you in one regard. I notice numbers of people are away from us today out of the city. Some of them informed us that they would be gone, vacationing, traveling, camping for the weekend or for the week. And I want to encourage you to do something. If you're gone in this series of messages on Matthew chapter 13, let me encourage you to get the tapes of the ones you missed, and listen to them and get them in sequence with all the others. In fact, I would encourage every family in the church, and I've never done this before, and this I think will let you know how important I think this series of messages is. I would encourage you to buy the entire series from the first one to the last. It probably will be about a dozen messages by the time we finish. And it will probably include about 10 tapes, something like that. And of all the sermons I've ever preached in the 8 years of being your pastor, I may have preached better sermons, I may have preached worse sermons, but I think this series is by far the most important series I've preached as your pastor, and that's a very candid observation. After much thought and consideration of some of the other areas we've gone into, I have no debate in my mind that this is the most important series of sermons I have ever preached to you, because they touch us where we are. They tell us what we can expect as far as threat and danger are concerned, and they tell us what direction God wants His church to go in this age. And nothing could be of any greater importance than that to us just now. Now, I want to preface what I'm going to say with another remark that's very crucial and very serious. I'm reading today from the 33rd verse of Matthew 13. Just one verse. And let me say at the outset, before I read, that this verse will show us again how very important one verse of the Word of God can be. There are just times in the Bible where one verse overwhelms everything else. And it'll be more important than perhaps entire paragraphs or entire pages or entire units of Scripture. And this is one of those places. I was visiting with a brother yesterday out in some homes, and in the course of our conversation, somehow we got to the first beatitude in the Sermon on the Mount. I don't recall how we arrived there. And he said this. He said, "For a long, long time, I did not understand that verse." And he said, "It was only after I had begun to study seriously and extensively over a long period of time that I think I started to understand that verse." And then he added, "That shows me how very, very important it is for us to anchor ourselves in a verse or a paragraph of the Word of God until God gives us His mind and we understand it." Now, it's tragic then that Christians assume they understand. I know people who have been in Sunday school all their lives and they've lived over half a century who just assume by exposure to the Bible they understand it, and when you talk to them you find out they know nothing about it. I mean nothing. They just assume not been there as far as interpretation is concerned, because once they'd heard it once they assume they know it. I'm going to show you this morning of how seriously crucial, important, one verse of the Word of God can be. I could spend at least 5 hours on this verse, and I have no question about that. It is that important. And I could labor over it and seek to exhaust it of what little that I know about it, and there's much more beside, and still we would not approach everything Jesus intended to say in it. It is absolutely fathomless and exhaustless. And I want to share it with you today in the short time we have together. Now, this is about the seventh, I think, of a series of messages on the kingdom parables of Matthew chapter 13. And I repeat, this is the most important chapter in the Bible, in my estimation, in the understanding of this age in which we live. If you do not understand the basic content of this chapter, you'll be confused about this age, and you'll want to give up on many things that are right and holy and true and good. You'll be confused about yourself. You won't understand why you think one way and act another quite often. Why it's easy for you to speak right and act wrong. You won't understand yourself if you don't understand some things about this chapter. And this parable before us today is one of the most important, and yet it's very brief. It has only 24 words in it, totally, in the King James translation of the Bible. Matthew 13:33. I'm going to read it twice in order to give you a chance to absorb it very carefully. It says, "Another parable spake Jesus unto them." Now here's the parable. "The kingdom of heaven..." Now you'll have to remember what we've said about that phrase earlier, and God willing, I'll spend one entire session talking primarily about that phrase before we finish. "The kingdom of heaven." Now, it does not mean the ideal kingdom. It is not the same as the kingdom of God. Now, that's the first time I've said that, but that's very important. We'll explore that later. It's quite different. You see, the kingdom of heaven is the sphere of professing Christians, whether they really possess Christ or not. It's made up of what we might generally call the visible church, even with all of its denominational divisions. And obviously, it is crowded with falsehood. It is jammed with false professors who profess to know Christ but have never been born again. Think of all the Baptists who have never been saved. Think of all the Methodists who have never been saved. Think of all the Episcopalians who have never been saved. Think of all the Lutherans and the Presbyterians who have never been saved. Think of all the Roman Catholics and Greek Orthodox Catholics who have never been saved. All of these are included under that one little phrase, the kingdom of heaven, because it is the sphere, the broad, great, general sphere of all those who profess Christ, no matter whether they've been born again or not. And they all fall under the pale of what we call the church. The kingdom of heaven is like unto... Now let me pause again for just a moment. What he says it is like unto here is the entire concept that follows. It is not just like unto leaven. It's like unto leaven in a certain situation. Now that's very important. Very important. And when you read this, the situation he is saying it is to be compared to is the entire situation that is pictured here, not just one part of it. "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole," or till the entire thing, "was leavened." Now that sounds so simple and so easy. Let me read it again. Here's the parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the entirety was leavened," was completely leavened. Let me give you the usual interpretation. I want to tell you at the outset, it is absolutely false. I have probably 30 books on the shelves of my library that deal with the parables. At least 3 out of 4 of them give an inaccurate, inadequate, incorrect interpretation of this parable. The popular commentators are almost universally absolutely wrong. I see, I hate to say that because that makes me look like an authority over those who are far wiser and more sensible than I. But I know what I'm saying, and I'm right. That's the reason I say it. If I did not believe it, I wouldn't say it. And you'll see it all through this passage, how the popular interpretation is the exact opposite of what Jesus intended. And I want to show you that this morning. Here's the popular interpretation. The leaven represents the gospel. The gospel as it is preached. The woman who took the leaven represents the church. This is the usual interpretation. The church takes the gospel and penetrates it into the 3 measures of meal which represent lost humanity until the entirety has been influenced savingly by that gospel penetrating lost humanity, that is, the whole world, is Christianized. Now, that's the popular interpretation of that parable. Now, it doesn't take much sense, if you're a Bible student, to see that is the exact opposite of what Jesus Christ is saying. And if it's not the exact opposite, he was absolutely wrong on several counts. You see, that interpretation is not consistent with anything else Jesus said, even in this very chapter. It's the exact opposite of what he said in this very chapter. It's not consistent with his